If you could turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter number 18. Psalm chapter number 18. And as you're turning there, I know many of you have wondered how my trip to India went. And really quick, I just want to share how that went and everything. So we arrived in India on a Thursday. Thursday morning at about 8 o'clock in the morning. And we went right over to the Bible College. Bible College was still going on at the time. And we were feeling somewhat okay. So Messi's mother asked me, can I share my testimony? Can I talk to the kids in the Bible College, the students in the Bible College? So we went over there, talked to the students of the Bible College. So that was an awesome, fun time. Talked to two different classes. And then for some reason, about 2 o'clock, it hit me. Like, everything just hit me. I slept from 2 till 6 the next morning. So that was pretty crazy. And then they told me the next morning that they tried to wake me up. And they said I woke up. I looked at them. And they said my eyes were, like, super bloodshot red. And then so they all ran out of the room. So, but I felt good. The next day I woke up. We had a great time that Friday, spending time with their family. Saturday, we woke up, played soccer, and that was probably maybe the third time in my life playing soccer. So that was fun. That was a little bit interesting. Sunday, obviously, we went to church, spent time at church. And then they have like the school is called Home of Hope, where these kids are orphans. And so Monday, they came out at 4 o'clock, and they asked me, could I play soccer? So I spent the whole evening playing soccer with them. I probably fell maybe about 4 or 5 times. I don't know if you guys seen the video. I should have brought it and showed it. But there's a play where I kicked the ball up in the air, and I felt good about the move I just made. Just juked out a little kid, and I ended up falling flat on my face. I can give you another situation where I was running to go score a goal, and I tried to kick the ball, lost my foot, and fell on the back of my head. So that was pretty much my whole night. So the next morning I woke up, I was sore. And then the kids came over again at about 4 o'clock. Like, hey, Mr. Jeremiah, you want to play? And I was like, no, I'm okay. But it was awesome. Like, I loved every bit of it. Just seeing the sincereness of the people, just seeing the hunger and thirst for the Word of God. It was an amazing trip, and honestly, it was the trip of a lifetime. And as well, I got to spend time with Messi and her family, and that was truly a blessing. That was truly awesome. Just getting to know them, and they're wonderful people, wonderful missionaries over there doing a great work in India. If you keep them in your prayers, just this past week on Tuesday, Messi's grandfather just went home to be with the Lord. So be in prayer for them as they're dealing with this situation. So Psalm 18, we're going to begin reading in verse number 30 of Psalm 18. And I guess this message was born out of the situation that was going on in Messi's family. And as we're riding over here on the airport, we didn't know how long that he was going to live. And I remember being in India, and we take time to pray for our grandfather. And man, many people around this world were praying for this man to be healed, that God would do something, that God would provide a miracle to raise him up. But God decided not to do so. And obviously, God was glorified. So this message tonight will be a little bit textual. I'm going to use a lot of scripture. But I pray that it will be a blessing to you tonight. Psalm 30, we're going to read verse 30 through 36. It says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. And setteth me upon high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for this time to look into your word. I thank you so much for your word and how it changes our lives. And Father, I pray that you would bless tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would speak to our minds. I pray that you would help me as your messenger. I pray that you would give me the words to say. Lord, I do need your help. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." John 15:7 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Matthew 6:7, Jesus says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Luke 11:9 says, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." 1 Timothy 2, Paul says, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." Ephesians 6:18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Psalm 34:17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Luke 18:1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint." 1 John 5, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." James 5:16, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And the most famous, Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." The Bible is clear as it commands us to pray. The Bible is clear as it commands us to commune or talk to God. But the thing I want to focus on tonight is, what happens when God doesn't answer our prayers? The Bible is clear that God is capable of answering our prayers. God is powerful enough to answer our prayers. But what happens when God does not answer our prayers? They did this survey. There was a survey done by Lifeway Research, and it says that 48% of Americans pray every day, and 31% pray several times a day. And there's no secret about it that, hey, we like praying. We like asking God for things. But I want to use this phrase, I want to use this analogy tonight, and it's called the elephant in the room. How many know what I'm referring to? The elephant in the room. The elephant in the room, or the elephant in the living room, is an English metaphorical idiom for an obvious truth that is either being ignored or going unaddressed. This expression also applies to an obvious problem or risk no one wants to discuss. And I remember being in Bible college, and I would hear time and time again, God answers prayer, God does this, God does that. But there's often times where God didn't do things in my life. God's answer to my prayers were no. And so I ask God, what do I do during these times where it seems like you're not listening, where it seems like you're not answering? And I believe with the three points that I'm going to give you today will answer those in your life as well. Scripture tells us that God not only hears our prayers, but answers them. But sometimes when it seems as though God doesn't hear or answer your prayers, the things that you pray for, the things that you're begging God for, maybe it's a child that's wayward. Maybe it's a physical thing that you're going through. Maybe it's a financial struggle that you're going through. Maybe it's a person in your family that's going through a health struggle. Maybe it's you yourself, and you're constantly begging God every day to take this away, begging God every day to answer your prayer, and it just seems like God is not answering your prayer. What do you do? The elephant in the room of prayer. You see, the first thing that you have to realize is God's purpose is not my purpose. God's purpose is not my purpose. And I make this statement: God cares more about his glory than answering my prayers. God cares more about his glory than answering my prayers. Colossians chapter number 1, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." The Bible goes on to say, "Who is the image of the invisible, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." And the Bible goes on to say, "Even he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." So the situation or the trials is all about God getting the glory. That's the purpose of everything that we go through in life. It's about God getting the glory, because he is the creator of all things. The Bible says that in all things he might have the preeminence. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Bible goes on to say in Hebrews 1 verse 3, who being in the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by His word, by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, and sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And probably my favorite verses in all the Bible is Romans 8, 28 and 29. The Bible goes on to say, and we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So what is the whole duty of man? The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. What is the whole purpose of the trials that we go through? It's to glorify God so that He might get all the glory through them. Last Christmas break, around this time, I faced a terrible trial in my life. A man that I look up to, a man that I truly adore, I went home to be with the Lord. And it was crushing. I remember being so heartbroken about it. It was just so sudden, so unexpected. Last January, I'll say before that, I remember my freshman year of Bible college, this man invited us over his house to have carne asada. That was my first introduction to carne asada tacos. And man, I loved every bit of it. I loved it ever since. And I probably had maybe 13 or 14 carne asada tacos. They were really good. But this man, he was so welcoming. Every time I would see him, like, how you doing? He would say, I'm praying for you every single day. Ask me if he could pray for anything. Ask me if he could help me in any area. And then this guy was a real friend to me. And I struck up a friendship with his son. His son's name was Dante. And Dante was on our bus route. And, man, we went out every Wednesday, bus calling every Wednesday, soul winning. And we just have a good time. And then afterward, we would go over Dante's house. And his father would just be getting home. He was a principal at a school. And every day we went out and every Wednesday we went out. And every Wednesday we would come back to his house and have dinner right before church. But I remember in January, I was working at American Courier during the time, and I looked on Facebook, and I got a prayer. It was like an update from Pastor Chapel, and he said, pray for a godly man in our church, and his name was Dante Castaneda. And immediately my heart dropped to my stomach, and I was like, what in the world happened to him? And, you know, I began to just start questioning things, and first thing I did was I went to the bathroom. I start praying. And honestly, I was just like, God, you have to do something here. He had a massive heart attack. They didn't know how long he was going to have to live. And I remember after I prayed for that short time, I went back to work, went back to doing what I was doing. I got back on Facebook, and then Pastor Chapel posted that he had went home to be with the Lord. And it was so heartbroken. It was so crushing. I remember just being there, and the guy I was working with probably looked at me so weird, because out of the blue, I just started crying. And then he kind of looked at me like, hey, man, are you all right? I went, oh, yeah, I'm good. And it was so hard that day just to keep fighting back the tears. But to my shame, it really did not hit me on the purpose of what God was doing through it until the funeral. I went, I watched that funeral that Saturday morning, and I heard his son, I heard his children get up and talk about what a godly man that he was, a godly example that he was. And then later on, I got a text from his son, Dante, exclaiming how many people got saved at that funeral. And so it was just amazing just seeing God's purpose behind taking such a man of God away in a short amount of time. And I want to say this as well. It was just amazing just seeing him being the principal of the school, how many students, how many former students wrote letters to the family exclaiming how he shared the gospel, exclaiming how he did nice things for them, and how he went to every one of their graduations, and how he was just a blessing to them. So simply, God had a greater purpose than what meets the eye through that trial. So number one, we have to realize that God's purpose is not my purpose. Secondly, we have to realize that God's plan is not my plans. And we can all quote this verse in Isaiah 55. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Simply get this, that God's will is more important than answering my prayers. God's will is more important than answering my prayers. And I thought about this as well. If the God that knows everything, God that knows what's going to happen in the past, knows what happened in the past, the present, and the future, if he knows everything, shouldn't he be in control of the trials that you're going through? Shouldn't he be in control of the prayers that you're asking him? Isn't God in control of everything that we see? And simply God knows the plan that he's going to do. God knows exactly what he's going to do through the plan in which he's going to do it. Matthew 6 says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is on earth, as it is in heaven." I think of Jesus' model prayer. And in that model prayer, it shows unto us that God's will is the chief end of our prayers. Our prayer, God's will is more important than answering our prayers. And I like illustrations. I like things to be pointed out to me. And immediately what came to mind was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And how he basically asked God if there was some other way to get out of dying for the whole world, that God would provide that way. But God simply had a bigger plan for that trial. And I just want to read a little bit of Matthew 26. And the Bible says, "And when they had sung unto him, and when they had went out of the Mount of Olives, then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I not be offended. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said his disciples, Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it. And he says, Thy will be done. So what do you do when you feel like God is not answering your prayers? What do you do when God does not answer your prayers? Simply you realize that your purpose is not God's purpose in the situation, that your plan is not God's plan in the situation, and realize that God's plan is bigger than anything that you can even conjure up. God has a specific plan and specific purpose through what he's trying to teach you. So number one, we see that God's purpose is not my purpose. Number two, we see that God's plan is not my plan. And number three, we see simply that God's perspective is not my perspective. God's perspective is not my perspective. And I often think about this sometimes. How much God can see, and how much can God see is not your question. You can see everything. God can see everything. And if we go to the book of Isaiah, the Bible says, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. God sees everything. God knows everything. And if you could real quick go over to Job chapter number 38. And we're going to see a little bit of God's perspective. And really quick, before we read Job 38, I just want to ask you a simple question. How much of your life, how much of your future life can you see? None. Let me ask you another question, not a trick question. How much can God see? He can see everything. He knows what's going to happen in the past, present, future. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. So in Job chapter 38, we have this discourse between God and Job, and Job is simply, in a sense, complaining to God about the trial or the situation that's going on in his life. And we know Job wishes this infirmity would go away. But really quick, we're going to read Job, starting beginning with verse number 1. And then I'm going to try my best to get through it. But we'll start in verse number 5. And so God is asking Job this question. In verse number 5, it says, Who hath laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it, whereupon the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars stand together, and all the sons of God shout it for joy, or who shut up the sea with the doors, when it brake forth as it had issued out of the womb, when I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and set hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud ways be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place, that it might take hold the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment, and from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Hast thou seen the doors of death, the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare it all. Declare if thou knowest it all. Where is thy way? Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof, that thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the pass to the house thereof? And then jump down to verse number 25. Who hath divided the water? Who hath divided a water course for the overflowing waters, or a way of light, lightning or thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, to cause the bud and the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father, or who hath begotten the drops of the dew, out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? And so if you look at this passage, what God is telling Job, where were you when these things happened? Where were you when this happened, that happened? And we simply see that God has a different perspective, because God created everything. And so for a little bit there, for a little bit of my life, I asked myself the question, who creates trials in your life? And for a little bit, I heard God creates trials in your life. God creates bad things in your life. But we learn from the Bible that God is good, that God can do no wrong to anybody. And so how about you, in a sense, switch your theology from saying, hey, God created, from God allowed this trial to happen in your life, because simply God has a bigger perspective on the situation. And so really quick, I just want to give you just some really quick things that I wrote down regarding to these points that I mentioned earlier. Number one, prayer isn't about just you asking, but communication and communing and exalting God and realizing that it's all about Him. And so I ask myself the question, is my prayer just about getting something from God? Is God just simply a genie in the bottle for me? And so many people ask God for things, and man, I heard this so many times before, God has never answered any of my prayers. Time and time again, people say that. But what are they asking for? They're asking things to consume their own lust. They're asking, in a sense, you know, someone may ask God for a car, and God may give them a car, and they may think, man, God didn't give me a BMW, so God maybe didn't answer my prayers. And so, in a sense, prayer isn't just about asking, but it's about communing. It's about exalting God. And simply this, God is the God of the hills, and God is a God of the valleys that we go through in our life. So we can ask God, we could pray to God when it feels like everything is going right in our life, and God will always be there when it feels like everything is going wrong in our life. He's always there to listen. Prayer is about changing my will to God's will. And that simply is a taken from Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Prayer changes you, and prayer grows you. Think about how many times you may have prayed for something. Maybe you spent 20 years praying for something. But think about how much closer and how much more intimately that you know God had he not put you in that situation, had he not allowed you to go through that. Prayer draws you closer to God. Prayer allows you to see God's perspective. When you pray, it allows you to see things from God's point of view. And then moving on, loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind means that you trust him with all your heart, soul, and mind. And just because God doesn't answer prayer, it doesn't mean that he's not God, that he's not powerful, that he's not who he says he is. Or it doesn't mean that he's not listening just because you feel like God isn't answering prayer. So what happens when God does not answer prayer? Number one, keep praying. Number two, keep focused. Number three, be humble. And number four, realize God has a better purpose. God has a better plan. And realize that God has a bigger perspective than we have. And I want to close with this. I remember having some dream to make it to the NFL. If we were to ask when I was 5 years old, man, what would you like to do? And I would say, I would love to make it to the NFL. I would love to play for, out of all teams, probably the favorite team in the NFL, the best team in the NFL, the Oakland Raiders. If you were to ask them that, I would love to play for the Raiders. But God interrupted my life, I guess you would say, and showed me, hey, you know what? God has a better, I have a better perspective on your life. I have a better purpose and a better plan for your life. And one woman that I would like to point out that I truly thank for her prayers is my mom. Amen. And I remember time and time again hearing my mom pray for me. And I was so away from the Lord, I didn't want anything to do with God. And time and time again, she would pray for me and tell me, you know what, I'm praying for you. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. And I was thinking about that. What if my mom gave up on praying for me? What if many of you in this room gave up for praying for me? And I remember when God started to get a hold of my life, and man, he put a trial in my life, and all those prayers, it seemed like, came to fruition. And God was like, you know what, Jeremiah, you know, you're going to have to turn your life around. And I remember coming back, and many of you told me that you're praying for me. Many of you reached out to me. Many of you came out to visit me at my house, and truly it meant the world to me. And I'm so thankful that God showed you, you know what, he has a bigger purpose, a bigger plan, and a bigger perspective than what meets the eye. I was a jerk. I was a rotten kid. Nobody wanted anything to do with me. And I think about how God is using my life now because you kept praying. You kept seeking the Lord. You kept faith in God. And so I say, whatever you're praying for right now, whatever seems like is a huge big deal, whatever seems like a huge big obstacle in your life, I just admonish you, keep praying. Keep asking God. Keep begging God. Because eventually, hey, it's all going to come to fruition. God's going to answer that prayer. God's going to meet that need. Because number one, God has a bigger purpose through it all. God has a bigger plan through it all. And number three, God has a bigger perspective. He can see the whole thing. And honestly, I'll take God's side on the matter. I'll take God's side on the matter. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. Thank you so much for the blessing it is to know you, to trust in you. And Lord, truly we give all to you. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us in this area of prayer. And Lord, I know it's something that is not talked much about. And Lord, we know that you're able to do anything. You say, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. For thou knowest not. We know it's not hard for you to answer our prayers. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to stay diligent. Help us to stay focused. Help us to stay passionate when it feels as though you're not listening, you're not answering our prayers. Pray that you would bless each and every person in this room. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.